And today we have storyteller, and I know your first name is Judith, but how do you pronounce your last name?
Winhausen.
Okay, it's from where?
The name?
Yes.
Well, it's my husband's name, and his father is from Holland, so it's an old Dutch name. And recently we were in Holland about 2 years ago. We tried to search down the Winhausens, but were unsuccessful. So it's really a rather unusual name. There aren't that many Winhausens in the world.
Okay. Where are you located in the world now?
I'm living in Joplin, Missouri, which is right in the middle of the country, just about. We're actually right on the edge of the Ozarks. The Ozarks pretty much start at our property. I'm on a 10-acre plot of land. And this is pretty much where the hills start. When you go north of our property, things flatten out a little bit.
Okay, so you just basically are on the middle ground between the Ozarks and the prairie.
Right.
Okay. How did you get started telling stories?
Well, I started when I was a student at the University of Kansas in children's theater. And I had a teacher who was teaching a class in creative drama, and he said, you must tell story, not read it. To the children, in creative drama, you provide a story for the children to then act out. So that's how I started telling stories. I remember when I first did it, I thought, I'll never be able to remember the story. But I found that it was really quite simple to remember the story and to put it into my own words. And that was the very most effective way to get the children involved in creative drama.
Okay. What type of training have you had as a teller?
Well, as a teller, mainly that. And then theater training. I have 2 degrees in theater, one from the University of Kansas, and that was a Master of Arts in theater. And then I also have a Master of Fine Arts in theater from the University of Nebraska. So I was involved in telling stories all through my training, although the training itself, except for the creative drama training, was not specifically for storytelling. And then I've gone to conferences and, you know, lots of workshops and that kind of thing since then. Oh, I forgot to say one other little thing. I did have a little more training as a storyteller. I am a trained Waldorf kindergarten teacher. And in the Waldorf kindergarten, storytelling is integral to the day. Every day we have story time. And they taught us to tell stories in a very different way than I had been taught before in theater, in that you try to tell the story very simply without any dramatization. Of course, as a theater person, that was at the beginning very difficult for me, because I want to go into all kinds of characters and, you know, be flamboyant about things. But they said, no, for little children, for very small children, you just simply tell the story, and you don't color it. You allow the children to add their own coloring to the words that you provide. And the result of that is a style of mind that is really rather simple. I've sort of combined a little bit of the theater training with the Waldorf training, and I'm very happy with, you know, the style that I've come up with.
Yeah, the results are quite evident on the videos, especially as you as Mother Goose.
Yeah.
How far have you traveled to tell stories?
The farthest that I have traveled is to Archangel Russia.
Russia?
Yes, we have a friend in Russia that invited me to come, and I actually went there to tell stories and with some children as an English learning experiment, in a way. And I used Mother Goose as a means of doing that, and also creative drama. I had the children act out one of my Mother Goose stories in English, and I also worked with some adults while I was there, but I didn't do Mother Goose with them. and then I also told in some schools in Russia as well, that was set up by my friends that I have in Russia. So, and I've also traveled to England. I told at the Cambridge Folk Festival 2 years ago at the, John Rowe, who's a storyteller there, has a storytelling area that he does every year at the Cambridge Folk Festival. So that was really, really fun. I really enjoyed doing that. And then I've traveled to Vancouver, Washington, and to Mexico. I mean, I've been all over.
Yeah, it sure sounds it, at least in traveling.
Yeah.
When you started telling stories per se, what was your family's reaction to your efforts to telling?
Well, when I first started, they sort of considered it as, oh, this is nice. You know, she has a nice hobby doing this. But as I decided to become professional and was having to spend many hours a day sending out letters and answering letters, and, you know, it really is a full-time profession if you want to be a professional storyteller, not only going out and telling the stories, which involves travel, especially in the summertime for the summer reading programs. And my husband got to the place where he felt like I was not putting in enough time here at home. My daughter, who is now 12 years old, has always been very supportive of what I'm doing. I mean, of course, she grew up with me telling stories, but it was creating some problems with my husband, especially when I was putting so much time and effort into it. But that's settled down now, so he's a little happier about that, I think.
Well, as far as the finances coming in that help, I presume?
The finances came in. They were not for the amount of time that I was putting in on it. It was not really paying me for the time. I thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, I enjoy telling stories. I enjoy going out and meeting people and doing all that. But as far as finances, it really didn't. It paid for itself, and I did make a little bit of profit, so that was good. But it did not bring in the kind of money that you would think it would for the amount of time I was putting in.
Okay. What part of telling did you find the easiest to do or learn?
Well, when I hit on Mother Goose, that really was perfect for me. And I've done a lot of thinking about why Mother Goose. When I was a little girl, my mother used to tell us nursery rhymes quite a bit. In fact, my mother was a storyteller in her own right. She never went out and told stories publicly, but she told stories at home all the time. And Mother Goose was a large part of what she would tell us. I remember her telling us Mother Goose rhymes when I was little. I knew all the Mother Goose rhymes. So when I decided to do Mother Goose, it was sort of a spontaneous thing. A friend of mine had organized a little preschool festival. And she said, well, Judy, could you come and do some storytelling at this festival? And I said, oh, yeah, that'd be fun. How about if I do Mother Goose? And she went, yeah, that'd be a great idea. So I quickly made myself a costume, and I thought, well, I don't have any stories to tell. And the stories just sort of came out of me. It was amazing. I had about, maybe 5 stories that I told at that little festival that I still tell today. They're still my favorite stories to tell. And it was as easy as it could be. They just flowed right out of me. And since then, I've made more Mother Goose stories. But I still enjoy doing Mother Goose, I think, more than anything.
Okay. What is your best kind of audience?
Oh, I like a mixed age audience of adults and children. Children that are old enough to pay attention. I mean, you get an audience where you have a lot of babies. That's not my favorite audience, and you get a lot of those at the summer reading programs because people will go and bring their older children, and then, of course, they have babies. They have younger children that they bring along. The younger children just don't have the kind of attention span, and even though I consider myself very adept at getting a child's attention and holding it with a story, still, when you have children who are only 1 and 2 years old, it's very difficult to do that. So my ideal audience is an audience that is made up of children from 3 on up and adults that are there as well, a mixed audience.
Okay. With your past sage experience and wisdom, what kind of wisdom can you give to new storytellers, and what would you say to encourage them?
Well, you know, I've given that a lot of thought since we first started talking about this, and one of the things is to tell them how important it is that they not try to imitate another storyteller, that they can listen to other storytellers and see what their styles are and pick out the ones that they really like. But when they start telling the stories, they need to put the story into their own words. And the best way to do that is to look at what the bones of the story are. And other storytellers will talk about the bones of the story as well. That really means the plot line, the characters, you know, just the basics of what that story is about, but not fill in all the narrative. And then when you learn what the bones are, then you just start telling the story, and you know what they are, and the story will flow out of you. And when it's in your own words, then that's how you can develop your own unique style. And it makes it easier to remember the story as well, because you're not trying to memorize certain words. Another thing is for a storyteller that wants to be a professional storyteller to realize that it's going to take some time to get well known, and it's going to take a lot of work. It really does. It's very fulfilling work, but it's time consuming. You know, you have to let everybody know who you are and what you're doing, and you might want to have a website. And that takes some time and some money that you have to put into it. I sent out lots and lots of letters to libraries and schools letting them know that I was available and, of course, directing them to my website. And was, you know, you get just a very small percentage of the people that you send the letters to actually hire you to come and tell stories. So you need to take it easy and realize that this is a labor of love. It's not a labor of money.
So,
it's not in the beginning.
So
storytellers have been very, very successful, and it is possible to do that. But,
so you're saying don't quit your day job until you have it established.
Right. Don't quit your day job until you have really established yourself as a storyteller.
Okay. What was the draw for you to come to the Chicken Festival?
Oh, the Chicken Festival. Well, the first time that I went to the Chicken Festival, I just loved it. For one thing, there are no featured tellers. And so there's not like the stars of the show are over here and over here's everybody else. Everybody's a star of the show at the Chicken Festival. And it's so informal that anybody can feel very welcome to get up and tell a story, even people who are not, who haven't ever told stories before. And I just think that's wonderful. You know, it's sort of a way for people to get together and share stories without any kind of angst involved in it. And then there's music involved, and I'm a musician as well as a storyteller. So that's always fun for me to have an opportunity to play the guitar and sing.
Okay. Well, we are coming up to our 15 minutes on that.
Okay.
So you mentioned a website. Do you have a website?
I do have a website. I have to mention that right now I am not available for new storytelling gigs. Hopefully that will change in the near future, but I don't know exactly when that will change. The website is judithtells.com. You can see what I look like, and you can hear a few stories and see what's going on.
Okay. Are there any final words you would like to pass on?
Final words. Oh, boy. Well, I didn't expect that question.
Well, yeah, I know, but that's the fun part about being an editor.
Enjoy the stories. You know, tell stories that you really love. And while you are telling the story, enjoy the interaction that happens between you and the people you're telling to. Whether you're telling the story to one person or telling to a big, huge auditorium of people, it really doesn't matter. The importance is that love that you impart to the person that you are telling to or the people that you're telling to. I guess that would be my final words.